This England, a program of English verse in commemoration of St. George's Day. The authors, William Shakespeare, Robert Browning, James Elroy Flecker, Rupert Brooke, Hilaire Belloc, Rudyard Kipling, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, Francis Thompson, John Keats, William Wordsworth, and A.E. Housman. The readers, Leon Quatermain, Rachel Gurney, Joan Hart, and Clifford Evans. Selected and presented by Val Gielwood.
In a letter to the great Marquis of Montrose, Mr. Andrew Fletcher of Saltoun wrote, "I knew a very wise man who believed that if a man were permitted to make all the ballots, he need not care who should make the laws of a nation."
This royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle, this earth of majesty, this seat of Mars, this other Eden, demi-paradise, this fortress built by nature for herself against infection and the hand of war, this happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in the silver sea, which serves it in the office of a wall, or as a moat defensive to a house against the envy of less happier lands. This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England.
Oh, to be in England, now that April's there. And whoever wakes in England sees some morning unaware that the lowest boughs and the brushwood sheaf round the elm tree bole are in tiny leaf, while the chaffinch sings on the orchard bough in England now. And after April, when May follows, and the white-throat builds and all the swallows, hark where my blossomed pear tree in the hedge leans to the field and scatters on the clover blossoms and dewdrops. At the bent spray's edge, that's the wise thrush. He sings each song twice over, lest you should think he never could recapture the first fine, careless rapture. And though the fields look rough with hoary dew, all will be gay when noontide wakes anew the buttercups, the little children's flower, far brighter than this gaudy melon flower.
Oh, shall I never, never be home again? Meadows of England shining in the rain, spread wide your daisied lawns, your ramparts green with briar fortify, with blossoms screen till my far morning. And oh, streams that slow and pure and deep through plains and playlands go, for me your love and all your kingcups store. And dark militia of the southern shore, old fragrant friends, preserve me the last lines of that long saga which you sung me, pines, when, lonely boy, beneath the chosen tree I listened, with my eyes upon the sea. Ah, traitor pines, you sang what life has found the falsest of fair tales. Earth blew a far-horn prelude all around that native music of her forest home, while from the sea's blue fields and siren dales, shadows and light noon specters of the foam, riding the summer gales on airy viols, plucked an idle sound. Hearing you sing, O trees, hearing you murmur, there are older seas that beat on vaster sands, where the wise snailfish move their pearly towers to carven rocks and sculptured promontories. Hearing you whisper, lands where blaze the unimaginable flowers. Beneath me in the valley waves the palm. Beneath, beyond the valley, breaks the sea. Beneath me sleep in mist and light and calm, cities of Lebanon, dream shadow dim, where kings of Tyre and kings of Tyre did rule in ancient days in endless dynasty, and all around the snowy mountains swim like mighty swans afloat in heaven's pool. But I will walk upon the wooded hill where stands a grove, O pines, of sister pines. And when the downy twilight droops her wing and no sea glimmers and no mountain shines, my heart shall listen still. For pines are gossip pines the wide world through and full of runic tales to sigh or sing. 'Tis ever sweet through pines to see the sky mantling a deeper gold or darker blue. 'Tis ever sweet to lie on the dry carpet of the needles brown. And though the fanciful green lizards stir and windy odors light as thistle down breathe from the labdanum and lavender, half to forget the wandering and pain, half to remember days that have gone by, and dream that I am home again.
Just now the lilac is in bloom, all before my little room. And in my flower beds, I think, smile the carnation and the pink. And down the borders, well I know, the poppy and the pansy blow. Oh, there the chestnuts, summer through beside the river, make for you a tunnel of green gloom and sleep deeply above. And green and deep the stream mysterious glides beneath, green as a dream and deep as death. Oh, damn, I know it. And I know how the May fields all golden show, and when the day is young and sweet, gild gloriously the bare feet that run to bathe. Ah, would I were in Grantchester. In Grantchester. Some, it may be, can get in touch with nature there, or earth, or such. And clever modern men have seen a fawn a-peeping through the green, and felt the classics were not dead to glimpse a naiad's reedy head or hear a goatfoot piping low. But these are things I do not know. I only know that you may lie day long and watch the Cambridge sky, and flower-lulled in sleepy grass, hear the cool lapse of hours pass until the centuries blend and blur in Grantchester, in Grantchester. Dan Chaucer hears his river still chatter beneath the phantom mill. Tennyson notes with studious eye how Cambridge waters hurry by. And in that garden, black and white, creep whispers through the grass all night. And spectral dance before the dawn, 100 vicars down the lawn. Curates, long dust, will come and go on lissom clerical printless toe. And off between the boughs is seen the sly shade of a rural dean. Till at a shiver in the skies, vanishing with satanic cries, the prim ecclesiastic rout leaves but a startled sleeper out. Grey heavens, the first bird's drowsy calls, the falling house that never falls. God, I will pack and take a train and get me to England once again, for England's the one land I know where men with splendid hearts may go, and Cambridgeshire of all England the shire of men who understand, and of that district I prefer the lovely hamlet, Grantchester. But Grantchester, ah, Grantchester, there's peace and holy quiet there. Great clouds along Pacific skies, and men and women with straight eyes, lithe children lovelier than a dream, a bosky wood, a slumberous stream, and little kindly winds that creep round the twilight corners half asleep. Oh, God, to see the branches stir across the moon at Grantchester. To smell the thrilling, sweet and rotten, unforgettable, unforgotten river smell, and hear the breeze sobbing in the little trees. Say, do the elm clumps greatly stand, still guardians of that holy land, the chestnuts shade in reverent green the yet unacademic stream? Is dawn a secret, shy and cold, Anno Domini, silver gold? And sunset still a golden sea from Haslingfield to Maddingley, and after, ere the night is born,
Do hairs come out about the corn? Oh, is the water sweet and cool, gentle and brown above the pool? And laughs the immortal river still under the mill? Under the mill. Say, is there beauty yet to find, and certainty, and quiet kind? Deep meadows yet for to forget the lies, and truths, and pain? Oh, yet stands the church clock at 10 to 3? And is there honey still for tea?
Take of English earth as much as either hand may rightly clutch. In the taking of it, breathe prayer for all who lie beneath. Not the great nor well bespoke, but the mere uncounted folk, of whose life and death is none report or lamentation. Lay that earth upon thy heart, and thy sickness shall depart. It shall sweeten and make whole fevered breath and festered soul. It shall mightily restrain overbusied hand and brain. It shall ease thy mortal strife against the immortal woe of life, till thyself restored shall prove by what grace the heavens do move. Take of English flowers these, spring's full-faced primroses, summer's wild, wide-hearted rose, autumn's wallflower of the close, and thy darkness to illume, winter's bee-thronged ivy bloom. Seek and serve them where they bide, from Candlemas to Christmastide. For these simples used aright can restore a failing sight. These shall cleanse and purify webbed and inward-turning eye. These shall show thee treasure hid thy familiar fields amid, and reveal which is thy need, every man a king indeed.
It's 10 years ago today you turned me out of doors to cut my feet on flinty lands and stumble down the shores. And I thought about the all in all, oh, more than I can tell. But I caught a horse to ride upon, and I rode him very well. He had a flame behind the eyes of him and wings upon his side, and I ride, and I ride. I rode him out of Wantage, and I rode him up the hill, and there I saw the beacon in the morning standing still, ink pen and hack pen, and southward underway, high through the middle airs in the strengthening of the day, and there I saw the Channel glint, and England in her pride. And I ride, and I ride.
See you the ferny ride that steals into the oak woods far? Oh, that was whence they hewed the keels that rolled to Trafalgar. See you the simple track that runs all hollow through the wheat? Oh, that was where they hauled the guns that smote King Philip's fleet. Out of the Weald, the secret Weald, men sent in ancient years the horseshoes red at Flodden Field, the arrows at Poitiers. See you our little mill that clacks so busy by the brook? She has ground her corn and paid her tax ever since Doomsday Book. See you our stilly woods of oak and the dread ditch beside? Oh, that was where the Saxons broke on the day that Harold died. See you the windy levels spread about the gates of Rye? Oh, that was where the Northmen fled when Alfred's ships came by. And see you after rain the trace of mound and ditch and wall? Oh, that was a legion's camping place when Caesar sailed from Gaul. And see you marks that show and fade like shadows on the downs. For they are the lines the flint men made to guard their wondrous towns. Trackways and camp and city lost, salt marsh where now is corn, old wars, old peace, old arts that cease, and so was England born. She is not any common earth, water or wood or air, but Merlin's Isle of Gramarye, where you and I will fare.
Before the Roman came to Rye or out to Severn Strode, the rolling English drunkard made the rolling English road. A reeling road, a rolling road that rambles round the shire, And after him, the parson ran, the sexton and the squire. A merry road, a mazy road. And such as we did tread, the night we went to Birmingham by way of Beachy Head. I knew no harm of Bonaparte, and plenty of the squire, and for to fight the Frenchman I did not much desire. But I did bash their bagonets because they came arrayed to straighten out the crooked road an English drunkard made. Where you and I went down the lane with ale mugs in our hands, the night we went to Glastonbury by way of Goodwin Sands. His sins, they were forgiven him. Oh, why do flowers run behind him, and the hedges all strengthening in the sun? The wild thing went from left to right and knew not which was which. But the wild rose was above him when they found him in the ditch. God pardon us, nor harden us. We did not see so clear the night we went to Bannockburn by way of Brighton Pier. My friends, we will not go again, nor ape an ancient rage, or stretch the folly of our youth to be the shame of age, but walk with clearer eyes and ears this path that wandereth, and see, undrugged in evening light, the decent inn of death. For there is good news yet to hear, and fine things to be seen, before we go to paradise by way of Kensal Green.
When I am living in the Midlands that are sodden and unkind, I light my lamp in the evening, my work is left behind, and the great hills of the South Country come back into my mind. The great hills of the South Country, they stand along the sea, and it's there, walking in the high woods, that I could wish to be. And the men that were boys when I was a boy, walking along with me. The men that live in North England, I saw them for a day, their hearts are set up in the waste fells, their skies are fast and grey. From their castle walls a man may see the mountains far away. The men that live in West England, they see the Severn strong, a-rolling on rough water brown, light aspen leaves along. They have the secret of the rocks and the oldest kind of song. But the men that live in the South Country are the kindest and most wise. They get their laughter from the loud surf, and the faith in their happy eyes comes surely from our sister the spring when over the sea she flies. The violets suddenly bloom at her feet. She blesses us with surprise. I never get between the pines, but I smell the Sussex air. No, I never come on a belt of sand, but my home is there. And along the sky, the line of the downs, so noble and so bare. A lost thing could I never find, nor a broken thing mend. And I fear I shall be all alone when I get towards the end. Who will there be to comfort me, or who will be my friend? I will gather and carefully make my friends of the men of the Sussex Weald. They watch the stars from silent folds. They stiffly plough the field. By them and the God of the South Country, my poor soul shall be healed. If I ever become a rich man, or if ever I grow to be old, I will build a house with deep thatch to shelter me from the cold. And there shall the Sussex songs be sung, and the story of Sussex told. I will hold my house in the high wood within a walk of the sea, and the men that were boys when I was a boy shall sit and drink with me.
They shut the road through the woods 70 years ago. Weather and rain have undone it again, and now you would never know there was once a road through the woods before they planted the trees. It is underneath the coppice and heath and the thin anemones. Only the keeper sees that where the ringdove broods and the badgers roll at ease, there was once a road through the woods. Yet, if you enter the woods of a summer evening late, when the night air cools on the trout-ringed pools where the otter whistles his mate, They fear not men in the woods because they see so few. You will hear the beat of a horse's feet and the swish of a skirt in the dew, steadily cantering through the misty solitudes, as though they perfectly knew the old lost road through the woods. But there is no road through the woods.
What heart could have thought you past our devisal, oh filigree petal, fashioned so purely, fragilely, surely, from what paradisal imagineless metal, too costly for cost? Who hammered you, wrought you, from argentine vapor?
God was my shaper. Passing surmisal, he hammered, he wrought me, from curled silver vapor to lust of his mind. Thou couldst not have thought me so purely, so palely, tinily, surely, mightily, frailly, insculped and embossed, with his hammer of wind and his graver of frost.
The poetry of earth is never dead. When all the birds are faint with the hot sun and hide in cooling trees, a voice will run from hedge to hedge about the new-mown mead. That is the grasshopper's. He takes the lead in summer luxury. He has never done with his delights. For when tired out with fun, he rests at ease beneath some pleasant weed. The poetry of earth is ceasing never. On a lone winter evening, when the frost has wrought a silence, from the stove there shrills the cricket's song, in warmth increasing ever, and seems to one in drowsiness half lost, the grasshoppers among some grassy hills.
Calm is the fragrant air, and loath to lose day's grateful warmth, though moist with falling dews. Look for the stars, you'll say that there are none. Look up a second time, and one by one you mark them twinkling out with silvery light, and wonder how they could elude the sight. The birds, of late so noisy in their bowers, warbled a while with faint and fainter powers, but now are silent as the dim-seen flowers. Nor does the village church clock's iron tone the time and season's influence dissolve. 9 beats distinctly to each other bound in drowsy sequence. How unlike the sound that in rough winter oft inflicts a fear on fireside listeners, doubting what they hear. The shepherd, bent on rising with the sun, had closed his door before the day was done, and now with thankful heart to bed doth creep, and joins his little children in their sleep. The bat, lured forth where trees the lane or shade, flits and reflits along the close arcade. The busy doorhawk chases the white moth with burning note, which industry and sloth might both be pleased with, for it suits them both. A stream is heard. I see it not, but know by its soft music whence the waters flow. Wheels and the tread of hoofs are heard no more. One boat there was, but it will touch the shore with the next dipping of its slackened oar. Faint sound that, for the gayest of the gay, might give to serious thought a moment's sway, as a last token of man's toilsome day.
When lads were home from labor at Abdon under Clee, a man would call his neighbor, and both would send for me. And where the light in lances across the mead was laid, there to the dances I fetched my flute and played. Ours were idle pleasures, yet, oh, content we were, the young to wind the measures, the old to heed the air, and I to lift with playing from tree and tower and steep, the light delaying, and flute the sun to sleep.
The youth toward his fancy would turn his brow of tan, and Tom would pair with Nancy, and Dick step off with Fan. The girl would lift her glances to his.
and both be mute. Well went the dances at evening to the flute. When Lock Edge was umbered, and bright was Abdon birth, and warm between them slumbered the smooth green miles of turf, until from grass and clover the upshot beam would fade, and England over advanced the lofty shade.
The lofty shade advances, I fetch my flute and play. Come, lads, and learn the dances, and praise the tune today. Tomorrow, more's the pity, away we both must hie. To air the ditty, and to earth, I.
Here dead lie we, because we did not choose to live and shame the land from which we sprung. Life, to be sure, is nothing much to lose, but young men think it is, and we were young.
Were I that wandering citizen whose city is the world, I would not weep for all that fell before the flags were furled. I would not let one murmur mar the trumpets volleying forth how God grew weary of the kings and the cold hell in the north. But we whose hearts are homing birds have heavier thoughts of home, though the great eagles burn with gold on Paris or on Rome, who stand beside our dead and stare like seers at an eclipse at the riddle of the island tale and the twilight of the ships.
For these were simple men that loved with hands and feet and eyes, whose souls were humbled to the hills and narrowed to the skies. The hundred little lands within one little land that lie where Severn seeks the sunset isles or Sussex scales the sky.
And what is theirs? Though banners blow on Warsaw risen again, or ancient laughter walks in gold through the vineyards of Lorraine. Their dead are marked on English stones, their loves on English trees. How little is the prize they win, how mean a coin for these. How small a shriveled laurel leaf lies crumpled here and curled. They died to save their country, and they only saved the world.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
The program you have just heard was a selection of English verse in commemoration of St. George's Day, presented by Val Gielgud, with Leon Quatermain, Rachel Gurney, Joan Hart, and Clifford Evans as the readers.
This program originated in the London studios of the BBC.